Next, okay, so Teresa mentioned it, so we are doing Asking for a Friend, and we just have a belief that God wants to be involved in every area of our life, okay? Every part of our life, whether it's our finances, whether it's our thinking, whether it's our mental health. And so relationships are a really important part of life. And sex is a big part of the way God's wired us. God's wired us with a sex drive, okay? And learning to understand why God did that, how he wired us, and I think someone called it, it's like a fire. And so there's a fire burning on the inside of us.
Right.
And learning how to not get burnt. All right. Okay. So that's kind of, anyway, that's all next week.
We want to bring a biblical perspective.
Yeah. What's the Bible say?
Sex and marriage. So we're going to be talking about that next Sunday morning. You're preaching on the theology of sex.
Every couple of years, I like to just do a message where I'm talking about what does the Bible say about sex, and just like a little foretaste. It's actually awesome. Sex is awesome. That's God's design. Don't leave me hanging out there. I said sex is awesome.
That's right. No one wants to agree too loudly.
Amen. Come on, fellas. Give me something.
Come
help
on,
me out.
There's a lot of young adults in here
all
tonight.
Right, so okay, it's like... All right. Well, it is. And then, but there, yet. It's like a fire can be awesome. But when a fire gets out of control, things get burnt.
Yes.
People get burnt. But when it's in that little fireplace, magnificent, right? So that's next week.
Okay.
All right. So...
I would say into tonight, we're talking about relationships and dating. We'll head that way in a moment. But marriage is awesome.
Right.
You can have an amazing marriage. It's the best thing. We've been married nearly 30 years.
I know, right?
And if you can put in the hard work to make a relationship work, the first thing is finding the right person to start with. We're going to talk a lot about that tonight. But really, we do want blessed marriages, blessed relationships, the best life that we can have.
Yeah.
And God wants that for us. So that's why we're talking,
about dating
and finding the right
dating
person.
And relating.
Making relationships
dating
work.
And relating.
And because it's awesome.
Next week, mating.
It's so good.
Dating, relating. And anyway, okay. Let's go. I'm going to have fun here anyway.
I'm not trying to
make it too awkward, but awkward enough.
Can I put up the photo of us when we were dating? I
want
to do that first. Can you put that up?
Hey, come on.
This was literally 30 years ago. I'm on our engagement party. John is sporting the mullet. I think the shadows make it even more prominent than it actually was, but that's us in our early 20s. Why are you laughing so loudly for Linga?
Irresistible. I was irresistible, obviously. All right.
Is it a perm?
It's not a perm. It's like natural curls.
Wow. No, the actual shading behind it makes it look way more out of control than it is.
Way more out of control.
Anyway, that's okay. So thank you, everybody. We're going to have a fun little time. Good luck, Dave, with this. Thank you,
good
band.
Luck.
You guys can grab your seat. Give it up to the band. Great to see Jai Bevan back on stage. Love that.
Yay, Jai.
Good job. Over to you, Dave. You're now in control as it's possible.
I'm in control.
Right.
I'm the captain now. Well, yeah, I mean, this is kind of you could see this as a first date. So we're going to, kind of get into it. We've got a lot of questions coming through. Who submitted a question?
Okay, we did
one
put
person.
Up, we did put up some...
Gemma put in 30.
There was an opportunity to put up questions.
There was an opportunity. Sorry, you missed out, but we have gone through.
And there will be an opportunity for next week as well. Yep. So watch this on our socials, our church socials.
Yeah, and just want to just say that there are heaps of amazing questions. Some of them will be probably better for next week's conversation.
Right.
So if you get missed, please
let's
don't.
Do that.
Don't feel bad, but... we'll get to as many as we can, but I thought it'd be good. Let's just start with some lightning questions.
Lightning.
Just to get the engine roaring in a healthy way. No, don't go there. That's next week. All right, question number one. What's your most read book in the Bible?
My most read book in the Bible. Danielle's a Song of Solomon. This is the book
I don't
about
think
love.
You can answer on my behalf. That's why I'm up here.
Oh, that's
here.
Next week.
Oh, next sorry. Week.
You
next
just
week.
Do you.
You answer then.
I'll do
okay,
it.
Sorry.
I would say maybe Psalms. I feel like I read the Bible in a year, every year, so all of them equally the same, but then the go-to sort of one or one that I read a lot in the early years would be Psalms, because it's just like, go there. Beautiful.
Love that. Look, oh, look, lots of them, same thing. I'm gonna go the book of Mark. 16 chapters, it's the smallest gospel. It's my favorite word is in it, immediately. It's just like, it's exciting, it's happening, it's miracles. It's fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is a bit rogue. If you were to have an animal to protect you while you're in the wild.
Oh, that's like a thing.
You have one animal.
Yeah.
What would it be?
An animal to protect.
To protect you. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, well, I'll go a bear.
A bear?
Yeah.
A bear.
I feel like a bear is going to be, I mean, if it's going to protect me, it'll be strong. And
I feel like a lion is going to take out a bear, so I'm going to go a lion.
Okay.
I'm happy with competition. My bear.
Who agrees? A lion takes out a bear.
A grizzly bear.
Who actually thinks the bear takes out the lion? Yeah.
Whatever.
I mean, it's not about the competition.
Yeah. I don't know. It's subjective. We should try it one day.
Is it going to be like this all night?
All right. So, obviously, you guys are pastors. It's like your day, like it's your calling, but it's also your day job as well. If you weren't a pastor, what would you do for work?
So many things. Got options. I could go back to midwifery. I love the labor ward, maybe birth center, home birth. Love that. Maybe cupcake, a little bakery. Maybe floristry, flowers. I think combo. I haven't thought about this at all before.
You kind of do both of those in a sense. Well,
yeah,
it could be probably the baby whisperer. Like,
yeah,
they all love you.
Yeah,
every baby that comes through, you somehow receive them, and
so we sell them flowers. Like flowers would be great, and
the whole package,
and the cupcakes as well. Yeah, combo.
Can you make cupcakes? They're great cupcakes.
Yeah.
What about you, Pastor John?
I'm going to play golf and live off Danielle's money from all her businesses. It's just a thing. It'll be awesome.
All right, you can't say the mullet because it's kind of here, but what's one fashion trend that you'd like to bring back or you'd like to see come back?
How can I say the mullet?
No, you can't.
It's already,
it's already here.
It's already come back.
It's already here.
Okay, all right. Well, you go.
Well, you know the 70s when they had those bright, colourful paisley sort of shirts and the bell bottoms and everything? That'd be cool. That's fun.
I feel like bell bottoms have also come back.
Yeah, but like with the whole paisley.
The whole look.
You know, if you were going to a 70s party, you had to dress up and it's like
awesome.
Bright.
What about the fro? Let's bring back the fro.
That's true. You don't see many fros.
Okay. Well, Isaac could rock that fro again. Yes.
All right. Let's move to a relationship question.
Great idea.
So,
good idea.
Let's go on track.
Okay.
So for you two, you've been on many dates, I hope. I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
Still
look back on your dating life or even dating in marriage, because I know that's a thing. What's one of your favourite dates that you've shared together, but you can't have the same, you have to share different ones?
I'll go first then. I would say for our 25th wedding anniversary, we were supposed to be overseas on this big sort of Greek island tour thing, and COVID hit. So we got married in 95, so 2000. And so we ended up, 1995, 25 years, we ended up having in our backyard a candlelit, flares, dinner, and our two kids, so Gemma and Mitchell, prepared this beautiful meal.
And got it from the restaurant.
Yeah, we ordered it in, whatever. Yeah. But they dressed up in white with little ties and rose petals and candles and...
We're in lockdown.
Yeah. But it ended up being magnificent. A beautiful, beautiful, beautiful occasion.
That's cool. What about you, Pastor Dan?
Oh, well, I'm going to go with one from last week, Dave.
Okay.
Because often we go to the beautiful restaurant and we dress up and we have meaningful conversation, which is really good, and we make an effort for that. And we're on holidays, so we're like, let's make it really fun and different. So we went out for lunch to a cute cafe, and we did have meaningful conversation. And then we went home and had drinks at sunset around our pool, and then we went to Time Zone. With no kids, just on our own, just, you know, on the basketballs and playing all the drum things and all the rest of it for like an hour and a half.
It was
awesome. So much fun. And then we went to Santuro.
Exactly.
Oh,
perfect.
It was just an awesome, awesome day.
It was fun.
It's just like, change it up. Let's change it up. We had so much fun. So that
sounds like young dating.
Recent one. I know.
The air hockey table, you should have seen that. It was flying across the room. It was awesome. little bit competitive.
We can be quite competitive, yeah.
Time zone is I feel like time zone's kind of made a comeback, but if you haven't done it, you got to do it. It's fun. Brings the kid out of you. All right, well, let's move into some more specific dating questions, because that's kind of what we're here for. And we'll do segments. So we'll lean into me as a person before. And, you know, obviously not everyone here is in the same window of life right now. There's a lot of you that are married. There's a lot of you that are engaged. But first of all, let's speak to people before they're even thinking about dating. Me as... We heard a great message last week about being content with being single and some people being called to single, but it's very normal for us to desire to be in relationships. So to get ourselves ready and to kind of lean into what God wants for us in a relationship, what are some things that we should be thinking about in ourselves to tell us or indicate that, yeah, I'm ready for a relationship? Like, what are some things that you're thinking through a single person?
Really, really good. I think a Bible verse that Bible talks about love your neighbor as yourself. So I think we need to be able to love ourselves. I think we need to become content in who we are, who God's made us, so that we're not looking for a relationship won't ultimately fulfill you. So if you're not fulfilled as a single person in terms of happy and feeling like you're confident in yourself, then it's a myth to think that a relationship will make you happy or getting married will make you happy. So I know enough married people who would be happily single and enough single people who would like, oh man, I wish I could be married and that'll make solve everything. So I think actually being happy with who you are and really ultimately that comes out of, for us, a relationship with God and His love pouring into our life and His confidence coming into our life. So I'd say just that ability to be confident, single, and to love yourself because you're made in the image of God. First thought?
Right. Pass it in.
Oh, very similar thoughts on the contentment with yourself, but also working on yourself and your insecurities, that sort of stuff that we're going to talk about at Every Woman next week. But really, relationships can bring out the insecurity in you like never before. Yep. And just all the jealousy and all this different stuff. And so if you can work on being really secure in who you are and your self-esteem, I just think that whole self-improvement thing and working on yourself rather than just looking, who's going to meet that need for me, who's going to give me love, and so you're looking outwards, but really it's just that, hey, I want to grow, I want to walk with God, I want to go deeper with Him, and, you know, I know that's in my future, but not like so desperate for it that becomes the main focus in your life.
If you're unhappy because you're desperate to get married or have a partner because that's going to make life good, that's a terrible foundation for a relationship.
So we all do have stuff, and we all do have insecurities or things that we're wrestling out, right, things we're struggling with,
right,
for ourselves, and then I suppose when we're looking for the person who we might want to be with, what are some red flags, we'll call them, maybe, you know, yes, within ourselves, but when we're looking for a partner, some things that we would like to see in them, and some things that we should really have, that shouldn't be running rampant in our lives. What are some red flags in ourselves and others that we could be looking at?
Let me just give a little example. So just really practically, okay. So this whole idea is, as Daniel said, we believe that marriage is God, is one of God's key relationships in our life. I love being married. Marriage has the highest highs. It also has the lowest lows because you're the most vulnerable and at the most risk. It's the most rewarding. And like parenting and marriage, those two relationships are the most rewarding and most challenging relationships. So it's really important to have that perspective. So I think the question I got asked when I was single, and it was like, am I dateable? Am I going to be a good spouse? Am I? So that's that working on my mindset. Am I the sort of person that, rather than I'm looking for someone who's the perfect partner for me, what kind of person am I? Am I secure? Am I confident? And this is a little thing. I remember a young lady drawing me aside one day when I was single, saying, oh, are you looking for someone who dresses nicely? And I'm like, yeah. Are you looking for someone who takes pride in their appearance? I'm like, yeah, I actually am. I think that'd be really good. And they go, yeah, well, so are the girls. burned. And I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't have sisters and my mum was not really worried about style. So you know, just sometimes just, you know, basic hygiene, yep. Looking, you know, asking somebody.
Is that a red flag?
Well, no, this is just about yourself. This is about yourself. Just, you know, ask someone, am I a dateable kind of person? What could I change? Ask a trusted friend.
Can I just say as well, like when you get married, sometimes we need reminders of these wells. Like don't be the stinky husband.
Yeah. Don't exactly. Be... All of that.
Yeah.
The breath.
It's like real pain. Oh, yeah. You've experienced it.
Scent is everything. Oh, my gosh. No, not everything.
Scent is everything. Write that down. No.
It's important, though. Oh, my gosh.
It's important.
It's not a red flag, a beige flag. No. I would just say, you know, because obviously you're going to be at your best. You're going to be at your finest when you're trying to attract someone or when you start dating. And so there can be people that are all talk, but sort of say no action. But I'm like, I know what you're going to think when I say that. But so, you know, how someone can talk themselves up really well, but then bag others out and throw all these other people under the bus, but it makes them look good. And so it's kind of, you can get seduced by that attractiveness feature of you're always amazing, but everyone else around you is not good. I would just say that's a bit of a red flag because that's insecurity. It's like, I want to make myself look good to you and sound good and build myself up, but all these other people, it's kind of like, if you see a habit of that, that's a red flag for me.
Yeah. So I think if you're pulling that back to the foundational thing we're looking for in a life partner, potential life partner, when we're looking and being, for me, number one is character. Like 100% character. And that's, so you've got to be slow in building a relationship with someone because it's kind of hard to know somebody's character, except over a period of time, or unless you've got some trusted friends who know people and can speak. So I'd say character is really important. Values is really important. So that the Bible talks about don't be unequally yoked. Yeah. So if you're looking for a life partner, you're looking for somebody who's got the same savior, the same faith, the same values, and then those values over time are worked into their character. So that would be both for myself to be marriageable, dateable. I'm working on my own character. You know, that's what is my word, what I say, exactly what I do? Who am I behind the scenes? How do I treat people? How does a potential partner treat people who they've got no vested interest in treating them? Yeah. That character stuff is way more important than looks. Yeah. It's actually more important than chemistry. Yeah. Character is the foundational component because once you get through... In a relationally, when you get into the loved up zone, the honeymoon phase, I was reading about this today, there's about 5 chemicals that are released into your body. Some of them are like crack cocaine, like dopamine. They're just so like, and so there's this period of time for around 12 months once you get touching and in love and the butterflies and all that, where logic goes out the window. And so in that period of time, you're not going to be thinking about a person's character. They say love is blind. You're going to be blind to them. So before entering into a relationship, you need to be slow to start, so that you can actually go, ooh. Because once that wears off, then if A, you're not friends, and B, they don't have a great character, you're in trouble.
Yeah. I mean, on that, I won't throw anyone under the bus. But I have a fantastic connect group. Yes. Young guys, you know who you are. But anyone who's been coming to me, the thing that I could say from my experience and on that same train of thought is you just start by being a great friend. Yeah. Just, if they can enjoy your company and you can enjoy theirs.
Friendship's a foundation.
That's the best place to start. If it starts the other way, and it's usually doesn't end great. So be a good friend. Yeah, that's all fantastic. So, okay, so there's attributes we've spoken about that. Okay, let's be a little weary of these things. But there's the thought about having a list and finding the perfect, the one, the perfect person who ticks all of my boxes. The first question is, did you have a list? And are they sitting next to you? No. But did you have a list?
Did you have a list, honey?
No, I didn't have a list.
Okay.
I didn't have a list. I had, I guess, the non-negotiables. And I think that's sort of what you're talking about, the character thing. It's actually quite a short list in concept, the non-negotiables about the loving Jesus, about having the same sort of values that you have. And having great character, it's really quite a short list. But I didn't have a clear list apart from those concepts in my head of the sort of person that I was looking for. Once I found John, I did write a list of what I love about him. And this is the postscript list.
You've been adding to that every year, haven't you?
Huge. and then I've still got the list, but it's like all the things that I loved
about
him.
What's on the list? All right, okay, just kidding.
You know what's on the list.
You did have in your mind, though, some physical things.
Go there.
That I didn't find out about until about 5 years ago.
When I preached this message on Have Another Look, which I'll chat about in a moment, but so I always thought, well, I grew up with brothers who were sort of blonde-haired, blue-eyed or green-eyed, and so that's what I thought I would end up with. And so it wasn't a huge thing and I wasn't caught up about it. It wasn't like a focus for me. And so then when I was with John, I'm very happy. Very happy.
When you settled for John.
No.
Brown eyes, dark hair.
It was an upgrade.
And I only mentioned it, when I was preparing this message, and I think I mentioned it to Gemma.
Yeah.
And it was, and John's like, I never knew that.
I never knew.
Well, it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't a big deal.
It wasn't. So if we talk about the short list, like what?
Did you have a list?
Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah, like a list of girls or options or a list that I was going for? Oh, no, okay, sorry. Okay.
It was a small list.
There's only one person on my list, honey. No, the basics. All right, the basics.
I didn't make the cut for quite a while.
Let's move on. The basics are that they love Jesus, okay? That they've got godly character. And probably one of the big components of godly character that I'm looking for is that they actually are teachable. So they've got some people in their life who are mentors so that if they get a bit wobbly, then when we get wobbly, someone can speak wisdom. So we've still got that. We've agreed on people who, if Danielle's not happy with how I'm going in marriage and raises things, she has permission to ring this person and vice versa. So if you're not a teachable kind of person and then things go south, you're like, who do we talk to? Oh, we're stuck. So teachability is a big character issue for me. So loves Jesus, character. I think we talk about the idea of complementary calling. Because, you can be a Christian and you know that you're called to a particular area of life and, you're just going in that direction and then your potential partner is going in a totally different direction. So that's complementary calling is kind of an important thing. So I'd say those things ultimately... Then once you've got that, some chemistry and friendship, it's a pretty small kind of list like that.
I wasn't on his radar, Dave. From the get-go, it was kind of like, hello, over here, interested. It didn't work. And he couldn't see.
I did have a list.
I had to use the middleman.
I was, I did have a, you had a wingman. One of my mates is still in this church. Mitch Burks was your wingman.
Yeah.
And he asked me in our kitchen, we were batching together. He asked me in the kitchen, what's on your list? What do you think about Danielle? And I'm like, this is literally what happened. Okay. I went through my list. It's like, well, I'm looking for someone who loves Jesus, got great character. I'm looking for someone who's, there was a couple more things, who's smart, who's got a good sense of humor, et cetera, et cetera. And as I went through the list, I'm like, that's her, that's her, that's her, that's her.
Have another
and
look.
And at the end of it, I'm like, oh my gosh. She's like my mate's little sister who I have a friendship with and I'd friend zoned her. And Cupid just went, And I'm like,
yeah,
this could work.
Fell off.
Oh my gosh. So there you go. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, just a little reminiscing.
The aha moment.
Like, oh, that was an aha moment. And then we began to what we would call a date.
Okay. So
not like straight away.
So there's probably someone sitting here,
yes,
that has maybe recently had that aha moment. They're
right.
Like, actually, I'll point up here because someone will think I'm talking about them. That person, I'm interested now.
Okay.
You've got my attention.
Yeah.
What do they do? They might be a bit nervous. They've maybe never done this, or maybe they have and they haven't done it well. How okay. would you approach someone?
Can I just take it back a step?
Yeah,
a
I was going to take
step.
It back a step.
Oh, okay.
But you take it back
okay.
a step.
So, you know, just that whole concept of looking for that perfect person.
Yep.
And, you know, really that list is quite short of the non-negotiables. And really to broaden out, because you might look at John, who's been married for 30 years and go, hey, he's a great, strong man, amazing character, integrity, right. Leadership, you know, praise, all that. I want that in a 20-year-old.
But before Danielle started working on me.
Oh, I mean, let's take us back. the wardrobe was one issue, but just... but, you know, you're kind of looking for this perfection sort of and projecting into the future where it's like, hey, we're just raw material. All of us are. So we're talking to young adults tonight because this is the topic, but in your 20s, say, like we're really just stripping it all back and looking at potential. That's why some of these non-negotiables are so important, because that's just the foundation. And then you're staying in church and you're growing and you're developing and you're bringing out the best in each other, and other people are, and you're in connect group, and you know, just this thing grows in you. And that's where, yeah, so stripping that back to, I preached on this 5 years ago. Have another look. It's like you go to the pantry, right? Your husband goes to the pantry and you say, the peanut butter's in the pantry, and he opens the door. He's like, it's not there. It's like, I know it's there. I put it there. I bought it there. No, it's 100% not there. It's like, don't make me come over because I know.
Okay, we get it. We get it, right? Let's move on.
And then it's like, okay, it's in front of you all along. You just had to move. Like the Nutella and the honey or whatever, it's there behind. But have another look, because there's people around that you're just sort of like friend zoning, or just like, not because of this, not because of that, but really it's just sort
idea.
Of like this. Ah, have another look.
Yeah.
It could be right in front of you. Yeah. So that's just a word for someone.
And don't, if, because people get trapped up with, oh, we don't have chemistry. But chemistry comes and goes.
Yeah.
What you want is friendship. So friendship is the really important thing. So that's what I'd say. If you're having that kind of feeling, you're like, oh, okay, that kind of moment. The best kind of relationships are built on a basis of friendship.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I would, and most friendships are formed in groups.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I would say, just work out how can you hang out together with other people in groups.
Get to know each other.
Yeah, get to know each other. Get to see how people. That's if fun. You go from we've never talked to suddenly we're intensively dating and talking, it's just two people, you're skipping a really important part of the social process. So, you know, one of the first things I would say when you look at someone is look at their friends. So, because if someone's not got a good friendship circle, that might be an indication that they're not good at friendship. And if friendship's a foundation for relationship, so it kind of as a preparing to find a life partner, learn to be have good friends. And that can be hanging out and, you know, young adults at connect groups and stuff, and there's games nights and going out, you know, be an initiator and invite four or five people out. So I would say if you're interested in someone, start organizing some social things and make sure that they're part of a mixed hangout so that you can get to know them in a more social setting.
Awesome, right?
Yeah,
super helpful. So,
and then once you've done that, that's then we're talking about you, because that was a question you're asking. So once you're like, oh, okay, they seem to treat people well, and we're having fun together, and you know, it feels okay. We like, there seems to be a bit of a vibe. Then what do you do, honey?
I mean, you know, just talking to other people about them is good, like just getting a sense of, you know, what that person is like if you don't know them really well. Or right. if you do, it's like, what do you think about us in yeah. relationship?
Yeah.
Some people have discernment.
Oh, hello.
And some don't.
Ooh.
Right? Okay, so some have the gift of discernment.
Right.
And some literally don't.
Yeah.
And so you get that feeling, it feels good, and it must be right, and I feel a peace on it.
Yeah.
You know, that's Christian speak,
but
it's like, is there someone in your life,
yes.
and this is the teachability thing,
yes.
that you can say, no, really tell me what you really see.
Yeah.
Say, if there's an
yeah.
I'm not sure, then like listen to that,
mm-hmm.
because there's feeling, seeing something in that discernment
slow it down, for
that,
example.
Yeah, is it's so critical.
Yeah.
Because if you can prevent pain, we're all about it.
Yeah.
All about it.
Avoid getting our heart broken, avoid people getting hurt. So to kind of slow it down in that. And so sometimes that's someone, okay, definitely there are people who are just big loving heart people who kind of like fall in love all the time. And you can't trust your heart. Because you're falling in love with people who've got not great character. So you actually want someone who you trust, who knows somebody. Go, hey, what do you think about so-and-so? Do you think they've got good character? Do you think they've got good values? And do you think that it would be good for us to develop a friendship? So that's a really great way to track. And that's why being part of a big church community, you can ask people, or, you know, that's wholly separate to, am I ready to date? So can we just, I know you asked this earlier, but I think what we want to do is, if you're new in your faith and you're getting a relationship with Jesus going, then there needs to be a real season, if you're single, where we call it the just Jesus zone, where he's becoming number one, he's the center of your life, and the devil will literally throw up the perfect relationship that you haven't had for years when you become a Christian, a new Christian, to try and pull you out of church. So it's kind of, rule of thumb, if you're single when you get saved and not dating someone, have at least 12 months where you're just going all in for God and you immerse, do every core alpha, do Christian essentials, do freedom experience and get whole and healthy. If you've been in a toxic relationship before, so if you've, and maybe often what happens is a toxic relationship and you hit a low in your life, and therefore often when we hit a low in our life, we reevaluate and we get open to God. And so lots of people come to Christ after bouncing out of a toxic or just a hurting relationship. It might take longer, might take a couple of years if you've been in an unhealthy relationship or toxic relationship, to really go to work on some of that trauma and pain in your life. And you're better to do that without the complication of all of that other stuff.
I mean, one of the key questions that so many people ask, funnily enough, and I think you've answered it without actually saying it, should I flirt to convert?
Right.
Probably not.
Yeah. Look, ratio-wise, that I have seen it kind of work where people have built a friendship and people then come along to church. But I'd just say it's the exception. So more often than not, I've seen people build a connection. And, you know, Jesus talks about this. He says that the excuses that people gave when they were invited to the kingdom banquet, one of them was, I've just married a wife, so I'm not basically going to get saved because I've made that relationship my priority. So I would think that, you're playing with fire to think that, oh, I really like this girl and she's got great values, but she doesn't love Jesus, or vice versa.
That's those non-negotiables.
Great values, but doesn't love Jesus. You're going to end up heading in that direction. So don't. I just avoid it.
Fair call. That's good. So that actually, funnily enough,
we'll do straight talk.
Totally. Yeah.
Good.
It's one of the most common questions we're getting asked. So that's really, really helpful.
Bring them to church.
Sure.
Introduce them to everybody. Let God do his thing.
Yeah.
But don't get in an exclusive relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until they're on fire, love Jesus, and you know for sure they're going all the way.
So you touched on something just before about like having someone to speak into your life. We'll move into the zone of like the people around us while we're dating. Just briefly. who should I be selecting to allow and actually invite wisdom or wise counsel to do in the context of relationships? You know, you mentioned before going to someone who's got discernment. What are some, how do we find those people, especially in the church?
Yeah, I'd say we have leaders, we have pastors in church, we've got connect group leaders in church. So I would think that question number one, do you think I'm ready to date? Would be something that I'd ask some of my leaders, a connect group leader, some of my, you know, if you're a young adult, Josh and Shekinah are away, but I'd ask those guys, do you think I'm ready? If they know you. So someone's got to know you. So a pastor or a leader, really good. Then the next question is, do you think they're ready to date? Well, that needs to be someone who knows them, knows their story, knows their situation, so their pastoral leader. So, yeah, just being slow.
Cool. Nothing to add? That's good. Okay, so we're going to be touching more on, like, the boundaries and sides of thing, that side of things next week.
Hey!
But that's not the only reason. Cross boundaries aren't the only reasons that that... you know, toxicity can get into a relationship and stuff. Sometimes it's just not working out and best. You go, okay, well, we've given this a go and it's kind of not really working.
Yeah.
In the church environment, obviously, there's a lot of eyes that oh, wow, they're dating. Wow, there's this buzz. But what if it's not working?
Yeah.
How do we, in a healthy way to protect us and protect them, how do we leave that relationship or walk away from it?
That's good. Yeah, I think that's... honesty in relationships is really good. So sort of connected to this is the when you're first starting to date and, you know, what do you do or, you know, you've made that decision. A couple of things, like just you can have some fun in terms of getting to know each other and doing fun activities and keeping things light. But then there is that, I want to get to know you more. Ask good questions. You know, so there is this art of conversation that... you know, you can sort of breeze over. You don't really know, what to ask about. What do you think about this? How do you feel about that? Like, there's so many different apps or Pinterest or different things that you can just unpack things. And it really, you discover so much about each other. We still do it. We still bring up apps and ask different questions about this or that. You're in different seasons and stages of life. So never run out. But that art of asking really great questions, be curious about... your partner.
Really,
so you're wanting to really find out about them and what do they think about their, or hypotheticals or asking great questions. And I think even in that you can discover, hey, you're not on the same path. Like you're heading in different directions or you're not really that compatible. You've got different values. And so having conversations, having a relationship where you can have open conversation, honest conversations, and that revealing some things, it's really, okay, let's reassess our relationship. I feel like we're heading in different directions or it's not working. So I think that honesty thing, but you've got that foundation of conversation and asking questions and unpacking.
Yep. Really good. So really good. I just think that, you know, if we're talking about the relationship phases being, okay, we're noticing somebody, we're building a healthy friendship in a group kind of environment, we're checking... hey, do you think I'm ready? Do you think they're ready? Can you see us? And that's not saying can you see us getting married. That's just, you know, between that point and making a decision we want to get married is this whole build that relationship to work out, oh, does it work? Is it enjoyable? Have we got a great friendship or not? And so, you know, sometimes in church life, it can be, oh, they're dating. I wonder when they're going to get engaged, you know? And so you do want to take that pressure off in that sense of and I don't know if we call it dating these days. Do we call it dating? We're going out for coffee, we're going out for movies, we're having meals, we're spending time.
Okay, so I feel like it's evolved since,
okay.
I don't want to say your generation.
I'm not sure what it's called these days.
But, you know, like at least when I was dating,
yes.
five years ago?
Yeah.
It was perceived that if you were dating,
yes,
you're in.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was that social pressure, like,
so much,
okay,
pressure.
You've asked me to be your girlfriend or your boyfriend.
Exclusive or whatever.
So, you know, in the kindest way possible, let's put that aside
and
take the pressure off others and ourselves and each other and go, okay, let's just encourage.
Yes.
Let them have fun.
Yes.
But dating and coffees and all that kind of stuff nowadays can be seen as like a real, there's a lot of pressure.
Okay, little thing. You shouldn't start, if we're going to call that dating, you shouldn't start dating if there are reasons that you couldn't get married down the track. So don't mess with people in an exclusive, fun relationship if it's not going to be a potential life partner. Yeah. Have groups of friends, hang out with people, but ultimately, once you get to that stage, you're not committing to get married, but there should be no reason why you couldn't if the chemistry and companionship and compatibility happens.
Yeah.
And so then along the way, you're hanging out, and you just, if it doesn't work because you drive each other crazy, you're way better to stop before you get married. You're way better. You're actually better to stop before you get engaged. If you've got serious doubts before the wedding, pull out before the wedding.
Yes.
I'd rather the embarrassment of canceling 2 weeks before a wedding than actually breaking up 6 months later after a wedding.
Yeah.
So just take the time, and it's okay. Yeah. And hey, in our church, good news here, we're big enough to sit on the other side of church if you break up. We're big enough to just go be adults about it. And just go, hey, let's just kind of let each other exist in church. So I think you're better to go, oh, no, that didn't work. We weren't compatible. They're a great person, but not the great person for me. Just all that kind of vibe. And that's take that heat off. Which is why keeping the whole sexual part of a relationship on ice until you're married actually allows you to analyze, is it working?
So I think we have time for one more question.
Awesome. I love this. I could talk all night. This is fun.
So what does, and this can be a long, dragged-out question, but really, in essence, what is godly dating look like? Like, what's involved in that? Because obviously there's the engagement period where it's like, now we're really digging a bit deeper.
Yeah.
But that dating period and doing it God's way, what are we doing there? What are we trying to achieve from a dating relationship?
I mean, I think in terms of the godly relationship is connecting at a deeper level, but it's really keeping that whole sexual thing on ice because that's not godly. And so that's going to take your whole focus in a different direction and not allow you to just focus on being a friend or, really understanding each other and in terms of heart and mind and soul and not body. Right? Okay, so just leaving that. So godly relationship is putting in those boundaries so that you are not going to stumble because, there's so many people that it's like, oh, okay, no, we don't want to do that. We want to do it God's way, but then got caught up in the moment. And so it's really understanding.
We'll talk about that stuff next week in terms of how to not get caught up or if you have kind of crossed boundaries or stumbled, how's a godly way to... So that's next week. Remind me of the question again. What does it look like? Well, okay, so this morning I talked about relationships work when Christ's the center. So when God's the center. So the smartest thing any dating couple can do is come to church together.
Yeah.
Is to pray together. Is to go to prayer meetings together. Is to really grow spiritually together. So that there's this sense ultimately. What makes our marriage work at its very core is that we've invited the Lord to be the center of our relationship. And that's the strength of in the good seasons and in the awesome seasons, the good seasons, the tough seasons, the ordinary seasons. If God's in the center, it can work. So don't go, oh, well, we'll do that when we get married. Do that when you start to get a bit serious. It's not a bad thing to maybe praying together is going to be weird early on, but I just said, just keep coming to church. Don't, because here's the temptation, right? All of the good feelings of that dating period can kind of decrease your sense that I need God because you're starting to feel good. And so then if you start to skip church, skip things that were life-giving, and plug into that relationship, you start to look to that person to be what God's supposed to be in your life. And that might be good for a season, but when that drift starts, so making sure, as you know, you're just You're going to talk, you go, hey, we're going to keep God. And I'd put it on the guys. Guys, if you're going to have a healthy relationship, then you need to be a leader. And you might not be a natural leader, but the way you, the most important thing you can do is lead and go, we're going to church. We're going to conference. We're going to prayer meeting. We're gonna be in an atmosphere. We're going to talk about, you know, what's God say to you when you read the Bible? Just those sort of things, so that a spiritual conversation is a key part of your life. So.
So good.
It's a vibe.
Pastor Jonathan, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
We're out of time.
That's cool. Yeah. Let's pray. Can we pray?
Yeah, please. Please, yeah.
Okay, let's pray. Come on, just close your eyes. I'm not going to have an altar call. I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up. Father, I just thank you that marriage is your idea and that there are some you've called to be single, but there's lots of us you've called to marry. And we're praying tonight, firstly, that you would help us in our relationship with you to be strong, that you would heal our souls, strengthen us, that you would help us to be men and women who are godly men and women, men of character, men who love you, Jesus, women who love you, women of character. And then God, I just pray that you would help us connect to the right people. Father, we pray that our church would be a church where godly relationships flourish. Lord, where life partners are found in a healthy way under the blessing and the anointing and the covering in this church. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.